Dalad Eor, Thursday the 9th of May, Rabbi Doniel Baron. The power of Eor. Eor, the power of Eor. Winnie the Pooh's donkey.
What's your name?
Alan.
But first of all, I'd like to thank Alan for making the Winnie the Pooh line joke, so I didn't have to. That made me in the oven. Yes. So it's a great zchus. It's a great zchus to be back here in London. And again, I can't say how, I can't even express how impressed I am with the whole notion of Torah Way, that people come and they learn every single day. It's not just a Sunday, it's not just the bank holiday, and these shurim are available absolutely everywhere. So it's incredible. It's certainly a model to be emulated across the world, and it's a schus to be part of it. I also wanted to be makir tov, just on the record, to a de facto co-sponsor that, you know, I don't, even though I think it's worth coming to London just to give shiurim, but I'm usually here courtesy of IM Capital, who's the CEO of someone here in the Kehillah, Emmanuel Arbib, and they're more than happy that, you know, we spend this time giving shiurim, so it's a very big schus. So Chodesh Iyar is it's a fascinating month, and it's a mysterious month, especially for those of us who live in Eretz Yisrael. You know, well, right now, when I get back off the plane tonight, I'm going to see the usual Eeyore spectacle where everywhere you look, there's a tree moving or a piece of wood, and you're wondering, like, how is it moving? And then you see, like, 4 10-year-olds pulling this huge branch, you know, somewhere at the end over there to make their Lag BaOmer bonfire. And the entire month is colored by the spirit of Lag BaOmer, but the whole feeling of Eeyore. The bridge month between Pesach and Nisan and between Matan Torah in Sivan. What is the essence of Eeyore? What is the month all about? Now, again, we know that there are certain things that happen during Eeyore. Obviously, it's part of the period of Sfira. It's also the time in which Pesach Sheni falls. It's a time of Lag BaOmer. But what makes Eeyore special? And Lag BaOmer itself is a mystery, which again, I'm only going to begin to allude to. It's not really a shiur about Lag BaOmer. But it's such a powerful, mysterious day, especially in Eretz Yisrael, to the point that when the Chassam Sofer was asked, how come you don't move to Eretz Yisrael? The Chassam Sofer says, because I don't really understand all the fuss about Lag BaOmer, and if I went to Eretz Yisrael, I would have to participate, and I don't know if I'd feel comfortable participating, and I can't go there and not. So I'm going to stay in Preshburg. In other words, there was some mystery that to this day is a little inexplicable. And, you know, I always marvel at the numbers. If you do the math, a significant percentage of all of the Jewish people in the land of Israel goes to the Rashbi's Kever on Lag BaOmer. Without commenting on that, yes, there's a certain prominent rabbi who said that's the only day that the Rashbi is not there, but many rabbis and gedolim have gone. That's not the issue. What's it all about? So I want to try to come up with, you know, to relate a practical message, and I want to talk about one of the dominating personalities associated with the month of Eeyore. So the primary person you think of is, of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. However, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai told his Talmidim, it's not about me. All of my Torah is just a refinement of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva. Shanu midosai, ki all of my midos, everything that I teach you, is trumos mitrumos, a sifted refinement of Rabbi Akiva's Torah. So Rabbi Akiva, as we'll see, is really the person who's going to provide us with the key to understand the Chodesh Iyar. And of course, we also know that another aspect of this time, which was really a simcha, I think it's the Ramban that says that the tkufa of Sfira was supposed to be a sort of chol hamoed between Pesach and Shavuos. That chol hamoed, that quasi simcha, was only after the fact transformed into avelus with the death of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. But it's really a certain tkufa, and the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva color the period. This is a defining aspect of the time. So what is it about? And the answer really lies in the fantastic and almost impossible persona of Rabbi Akiva. You know, the challenge is sometimes in Yahadus that you learn things when you're a kid. Right, we learn the stories of Rabbi Akiva when we're a kid, and we kind of stay locked into the level that we learn it, and we don't really think about it. The story is so common to us, it's so obvious, the lashon of a pasuk or brachos, that we don't even question the obvious. Let's start from the beginning. How does Rabbi Akiva begin? Rabbi Akiva begins as a complete ignoramus, somebody who doesn't know anything. And one day, and not only that, he's a person who has to sort of, you know, save his pride, eat his pride, as they say. Because Rabbi Akiva testifies on himself that he was the ultimate anti-religious, right? He was the one protesting the rabbis. If I could bite the rabbis, I would bite them and in a way that would break their bones. Rabbi Akiva says of himself, I hated Orthodox Jews. They irked me. And now the same Rabbi Akiva does an about-face when he's 40 years old, which, you know, statistically is not the time in life when people change their minds and suddenly, you know, suddenly reverse everything.
Midlife crisis.
Baruch Hashem, midlife now has gone to 70, you know, and, you know.
It's never too early to happen.
But Rabbi Akiva himself is an individual who does it, and then he has to start from square one, right? There's no mechubad, you know, you can go to Eretz Yisrael, you can go to Eisha Torah. And you could be a person, Baruch Hashem, who knows absolutely nothing. And you can have an executive learning, Chavrusa. And you go and you pay a little money, and you sit in a very fine room in the old city, and some rabbi with a big beard sits down with you and says, Aleph, Kometz Aleph O. And you say, Kometz Aleph O. And you could do this in a very mechubad way, and you say face, and they honor you at a dinner. That's not what happened to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't know anything. He couldn't read the Aleph Beis. And he's sitting with the little kids in Cheder, because I'll say, Kometz Aleph O. Could you imagine how Rabbi Akiva felt? What it must have taken, how much rutzen, how much positive will to know Torah that it must have involved for Rabbi Akiva to do that. Not only that, Rabbi Akiva is someone who had tremendous potential, but not everybody saw it. One person saw it. Her name was Rachel. And Rachel was a rich girl. And she said, I see this Akiva ben Yosef. I know he's going to be someone big. And Chazal very clearly say that she has a very central role in Rabbi Akiva becoming Rabbi Akiva. But the whole concept is she was a girl who grew up in riches. Her father was Kalba Savua. Anybody who walked into his house walked out Savua, right? You know, with Baruch Hashem, there's people, they're very good hosts. They just don't let you stop eating. And you have to just keep eating, and another dessert, and this and that, and then they bring out the Viennese tables when you think they're done. That's how people left this house. So this girl lacked nothing. And she comes home, and she says, Dad, I want to marry this Akiva ben Yosef. And he says, who? Akiva ben, that loser? That's it. So Rabbi Akiva gets the worst of both worlds. He marries a rich girl and doesn't get any money. So the Gemara describes their abject poverty. Okay, they lived with absolutely nothing. The Gemara talks about how Rabbi Akiva had to work for 3 years and he wasn't paid, and how they lived on a bed of straw, and his wife was completely, you know, Moser Nefesh, sacrificed herself, and they lived with nothing, and here was, you know, Rabbi Akiva in poverty, starting his life all over again, just to do what he thought was right. And then what happens? So then Rabbi Akiva goes, and he leaves, he goes to learn in yeshiva, and we also know that when he came back, and his wife heard him say, he heard his wife say, if he would only stay there, you know, more time, and he went back to yeshiva, the fact that he didn't walk into the house and he had straight learning, that is in her schus. So he becomes the Gadol Hador. He becomes the absolute Gadol Hador, the undisputed giant in Torah. And he has 24,000 Talmidim. So Rabbi Akiva is this rags-to-riches success story. But then what happens? Every single one of them dies. Rabbi Akiva, who basically starts his life anew, and he puts all of his energy, all of his keiches, into teaching these Talmidim, this passionate Torah that he's worked on so hard, they all die. Beperek Echad. They all die between Pesach and Shavuos. Most people say between Pesach and Lag BaOmer. They all died in one period. Could you imagine how Rabbi Akiva felt? What would any normal person do? Do you think anyone else would just keep going on? I mean, the natural thing to do is when you suffer such a colossal failure, you say, Hashem is sending me a sign, that's it, I'm hanging up my hat, and I'm going to go into gardening. You know, I'm going to change my career. I know many people in midlife, they just decide, that's it, you know, I'm changing my career, I'm doing something else, this is not working. And that's what Rabbi Akiva could have done, and nobody could have blamed him. But what does Rabbi Akiva do? He starts all over again. And Chazal tell us, he goes to the five Talmidim Bidorei. He's mamid these five Talmidim, five Rabboseinu Bidorim. And from these five Talmidim, we have all of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva today. We don't know the Torah of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. All of that is lost. I actually have a Chavrusa in Eretz Yisrael who said, what was that Torah? So it says that they used to darshan tilei tilim shel halachos on every tag, on every crown, on the letters. We don't have one of them. We don't have a single one of those drushes. So it may be that that was the Torah. That was, it's all gone. And five people, including Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was not the greatest of them, transmitted the Torah today to the point that we have the Mishnah, Kulu alib de Rabbi Akiva. Everything's according to Rabbi Akiva. So when everything should have been lost, Rabbi Akiva doesn't throw in the towel. He says, I'm going to start over again, and again, all over again, a miracle happens. And he is able to re-establish Torah and to achieve what nobody else has ever done. Chazal say that Hashem revealed things to Rabbi Akiva v'chavei Rav that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. It's a beferish emetrish. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemayim. Hashem, you know, he sees this rolling video of Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the back row, and he says, I have absolutely no idea what's going on. The only nechama he has is when Rabbi Akiva blames it on Moshe and says, Halacha Moshe Misina. Fine. But Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't understand it. And Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand the level that Rabbi Akiva did. This person achieved all that, and he never gave it a towel. But it gets worse, okay? Rabbi Akiva's life does not end there. So then Rabbi Akiva has this amazing idea. He wants to bring Mashiach. You've probably heard the Gemara of Arba Nichnesu Lepardes, right? A very cryptic Gemara, four people enter an orchard. What does that mean? So according to the Arizal, Rabbi Akiva was trying to bring Mashiach. And those four people represented the entire gamut of Torah. What does Pardes stand for? Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Pshat is the simple meaning of Torah. Remez is hints, illusion. Drash is expounding, and Sod is secret. And the Arizal says, by the way, that they correspond to the individuals that went in with Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva ben Azai was Pshat. Elisha ben Abuya, also known as Acher, was Remez. And Remez, by the way, if you get the hint wrong, then that's where you're liable to make a colossal error, which is exactly what happened. Elisha ben Abuya. Ben Zoma was Drash. It says in the Gemara that Ad Mishameis Ben Zoma Batlu Hadarshanim. And Rabbi Akiva, as is known as Sod. All of these people were destroyed. One died, one went crazy, one went off the derech. Only Rabbi Akiva was Nichnas B'Shalom and Yatzah B'Shalom. So Rabbi Akiva has this attempt to bring Mashiach and to fix the world, and he brings the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of his door, representing the entire gamut of Torah, all of Pardes. And guess what happens? He fails. He survives. He walks out alive. But he doesn't bring Mashiach. It doesn't work. What would you do if you were Rabbi Akiva? He keeps going, and he doesn't give in. Then there's another remarkable thing that happens in Rabbi Akiva's old age. Rabbi Akiva is an old man. He's a great Talmud Chacham. And the Romans have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva is busy running away from them. It's all of the Rabbanim of the door. And then there's one individual that purports to be Mashiach. Now the Rambam says, V'dimo Rabbi Akiva v'chol oso chachach mi'ador, that he was Mashiach. So my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro Zatzal, says, do not think that Rabbi Akiva made a mistake. Rabbi Akiva doesn't make mistakes. When Rabbi Akiva thought that he could be Mashiach, that means he could have been Mashiach. He was Mashiach. The messianic process had started, but it was destroyed.
I heard it, Ben Yosef, that
it was destroyed. It stopped in the middle. But had the process continued, it would have been Mashiach. So Rabbi Akiva didn't make a mistake. But Rabbi Akiva saw Mashiachus snatched away. And Rabbi Akiva was the arms bearer for Bar Kosiva. And then when he saw it was all a failure, and there was bloodshed that the Chazal described in the most horrifying terms. I mean, you know, rivers of blood flowing from Beitar to the sea. Do you know where Beitar is? Beitar is south of Yerushalayim. You know, it's about 30, 40 kilometers from the sea. The Gemara describes rivers of blood flowing to the sea. I mean, it was a horrible devastation. Could you imagine how Rabbi Akiva felt? Did he throw in the towel then? No. Till his last day, when his flesh was scraped off by the Romans and later sold in the market, Rabbi Akiva was laughing and he never gave up hope. And not only that, he was Rabbi Akiva. His rutzin to do the rutzin Hashem, his will, was always there. This, my friends, has to define the month of Iyar. This must be what it's all about. But what does that mean on a more practical level, and what's the source of this? So the answer is that it all lies in the Chag, which is Doraisa, in this month. And that Chag is a Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni. What was Pesach Sheni about? So if you think about it, again, we read it so many times that we don't even get it. Let's say you have a little kid at home, right? This happens to me all the time. And there's ice cream in the fridge. And the kid says, I want vanilla. And you say, there's only chocolate. And the kid says, I want vanilla. And there's only chocolate. And the kid cries and screams and screams. The problem is all the stores have closed, right? It's not like New York or Yerushalayim where the stores never close, right? London, everything properly. Do you have a 24-hour kosher mart here?
Does it say yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kosher Kingdom is not 24 hours. Okay, but the idea is that, you know, if you come from a city that sleeps, then you can't go out and get ice cream. And no matter what the kid said, the kid banged, it's not fair. I want vanilla. You can't give him vanilla because you've only got chocolate. Imagine you come to Hashem and you say, listen, I want to bring a carbon. But you can't, you're tummy. The rules say you can't. No, it's not fair. I was tummy beforehand. I missed out on carbon Pesach. I was tummy mace and I missed out on the chag. I want to do it. Now, according to the rules, in any court of justice, this is a ridiculous claim. It doesn't make any sense. You can't change the rules. It is what it is. You can't come and say, I want something that's impossible. And yet, people come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, Karban Pesach, that's the defining moment of Klal Yisrael. That's the event of our Geiris. How could we miss out on that? Lama Nigara. How can it be that we're left out? Does this claim make any legal sense? No. If they bang on the table and say, it's not fair, tough luck. And what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Hashem and he says, what should I do? And Hashem says, give them Pesach Sheni. Now, it's not that in the Torah there's a list of chagim and then suddenly Pesach Sheni comes up. They're given Pesach Sheni as the result of a demand of Lama Nigara. As a result of a ratzon of, it can't be. Now, it's not a frivolous ratzon like chocolate and vanilla. That's not the best example. It's a ratzon to connect Hashem. And when I really feel that this is what needs to be within the system, there are situations when Hashem admits to me and he's ma'ida and he reveals something. Pesach Sheni is a chag that is the product of the intense longing of Klal Yisrael. The same words appear in the Torah in one of the contexts with the same result. Benois tzlafchad, lose their father. They want to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. It's not about economics. They want to be part of the whole thing. They go to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Lama Yigara, why should we lose out? Why shouldn't we also have a nachla? And in their heart of hearts, wanting to do Ratzon Hashem, this is what they believe. Legally, forget about it. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Hashem and a new halacha is created. They get a nachla. This is an incredible thing. This is something that should be impossible. And this shows you that the month of Iyar is something that transcends the rules of the world. When something is impossible, but you really want it, and you want it for the right reasons, and you want it for ruchnis, and you say, Lama Yigara, and you believe that this is the right thing. When everything is impossible, when you marry a rich girl and you don't have any money, when every single one of your 24,000 Talmidim die within a few weeks, when your hopes in Mashiach are dashed with horrible bloodshed, when your skin is scraped off, when you try to bring Mashiach and you meet with failure, what do? You make a demand, Lama Nigara, and you know what happens? This concept specifically, now that Hashem admits to your demand. The Torah is determined, not b'shamayim, but ba'aretz. Again, within the system, within the right ritzonos, not frivolous of making up our own rules. Now, my friends, what is the ultimate example of this? What is the quintessential illustration of this idea that Torah is not in Shemayim, and that it's not only in the Sefer Torah, but there's another aspect of Torah that comes from Oretz? It's Torah Sheval Peh. Torah Sheval Peh. The Torah of Talmidei Chachomim. The Torah, what is it called when in the Gemara something is according to an individual? Aliba didei. Aliba didei. What does aliba mean? According to his heart. A person's heart tells them what the Torah should be. Torah Sheval Peh is a fascinating phenomenon where Hashem gives us a license to understand Torah. The greatest illustration of this is probably the Tanur Shel Achnoi, where there's a big machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua as to whether this is Tameh and whether this is Tahar. And the Beis Din is with Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya. And Rabbi Elazar keeps saying, I'm right. And he brings proofs, right? He says, if I'm right, let the carob tree move from here to there. Have you ever seen a carob tree? It's really big. Okay, there are big trees. They're towering trees. Carob trees don't move that easily, right? And the carob tree moves. And they say, we don't bring proofs from a carob tree. He says, if I'm right, let the water in the aqueduct flow backwards. And it does. We don't bring proofs from aqueducts. And he brings one sign after another. If I'm right, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash cave in. And they start to cave in. And then Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that's not the way Torah works. And they stop caving, but they don't straighten up because of the covet of Rabbi Elazar, but they don't cave in because of the covet of Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the head of the Beis, says, Loi b'shamayim hi. It's not in heaven. There are certain things of Torah that, by license, Hashem says, you interpret according to your heart, and you determine. The baskol that Rabbi Elazar brings doesn't help. Loi b'shamayim hi. This is the aspect of Torah Sheval Peh. This is the kayach of Lama Nigara, of when I think that this is what Torah is. And then a fascinating thing happens. The Gemara says that one of the Tanaim at that time came across Eliyahu HaNavi. And they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what is Hashem doing at that moment? And you know what Eliyahu answers? He's smiling. And he's saying, Nitzchuni Banai. My sons have overwhelmed me. They've conquered me. They won. And that's the way I want it. He's smiling. Hashem gives us the power through our ratzon to bring Torah into the world. It's not just this is it and that. It's Torah is filtered through who we are, and if we have a true ratzon, we can bring Torah into the world. This is absolutely remarkable. And the story, by the way, I was looking this over this morning to say this, and I noticed a remarkable thing which I've never seen before. Rabbi Eliezer is devastated, and he's the greatest Tana, and they have to break the news to him that the halach is not like him, and all the things that he said were kosher, they have to burn all of the trumas, etc. And they're afraid to break the news to him, because if he gets upset, he will destroy the world. And the Gemara even says, on that day, everything that Rabbi Eliezer looked at burst into flames. So they have to send one person to him to get the message across of Loi b'shamayim hi. A Torah is not in Shemayim, but it's in the Aretz, and we determine the law. Who do they send? Rabbi Akiva. They sent Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva comes, and he has a whole strategy, and he comes like an Avel, and very respectfully, and Rabbi Eliezer immediately gets the message, and he puts on his own, you know, begadim of Avelis, you know, someone who's executed, and he gets the message. They sent Rabbi Akiva, because that is the message of the day. My friends, this is the incredible mida, where a person can act in a way, and Hashem admits to the person and says that's the emes. Now, you ever notice in counting spheres of Omer? So next to it, there's like these things that say chesed shebechesed, chesed shebetiferes, chesed shebegvura. You ever see that?
Yeah.
So at the end of the sphera, basically the 49 days of sphera are arranged according to different midos of Hashem and different combinations, right? The midos of Hashem, you might have heard, are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, and then Malchus. So what you have in the days of Sphira are different permutations. You have Chesed Shebechesed, and you have Gvura Shebechesed, and you have Tiferes Shebechesed. So all of the different combinations of these seven midos happen. Now, there's one of those midos that actually represents this notion of a person wanting something and Hashem admitting to his way. Anyone know what that midah is called? Hayit. Right, they sing that over here?
Yeah.
Hod. So Hod, the midah of Hayit, is that midah. Now, the week of the midah of Hayit begins on Pesach Sheni. The day of Lama Nigora, when Hashem reveals that concept. Now, as you go through the week, so you go Chesed Shebahod, Gevurah Shebahod, Teferes Shebahod. When you get to Hod Shebahod, Hod Shebahod, what day is Hod Shebahod? It's Lag BaOmer. The ultimate Hodah, when Hashem turns to a person and he admits to his derech. Now, Hod is a double-edged sword. You know, they say that you should be careful what you ask for because you might actually get it. So they ask the Kasha, my Rebbe Ramesh Shapiro, why is it fair? You see Rishayim in the world, and they're very, very successful. So we know the Rishayim, the question we normally ask is, it doesn't look fair because the Tzaddikim are suffering, and the Rishayim are getting everything. What's really happening? The Rishayim are getting all of their reward in Olam Hazeh, and then Olam Abba they'll get nothing, and that's why it looks so good for them here. But what about this? Isn't that unfair to the Rishayim? With all due respect, none of which is really Magi Elohim, but basically, it's the stupidest deal in the world. I mean, why would Hashem, what justification is there in Hashem giving the Rasha his reward in this world? What an unfair deal.
Because he doesn't care about Avraham Avinu.
So the reason that Hashem does it is because that's what the Rasha wants. See, the Rasha says, I live in Olam Hazeh. I believe that Olam Hazeh is where it's at. Hashem, through the meat of Hoyt, is maida to the Rasha, and instead of punishing him by not giving him Olam Haba, he gives him what he's asking for. He's maida. Okay, you think it's all about Olam Hazeh? I'll give you Olam Hazeh. And that's it. It's a mida of hoyt. Conversely, if an individual wants, and he demands, even if he does not deserve whatsoever, but he says, lama nigara, and he says, give me this, completely out of line, we have the ability. If we never give up, and it's Ein Davar Oimed B'fnei HaRatzon, if Rabbi Akiva wants to fix the whole world, with all of his Talmidim dying, and all of his disappointments, and all of his poverty, and Churban Beis HaMikdash, and this whole concept of, going to the paradise and it not working, and the failed Mashiach, all of this together, and you still say, Lo Menigar, Hashem is Maida. And Rabbi Akiva was Zeicha to reveal Torah that no other individual in the world could. The message is real. This is not, historical commemoration of something that happened in the past. This is real. This is the week, this is the month in which Hayit is revealed. And it's true for all of us. You know, every once in a while, there's something that we'd like. We think maybe we want to achieve this. Maybe it's finishing Shas. Maybe it's learning a new Pirish that I never did that I was afraid to open, whether it's Ketzayis or Zayis, I have no idea. Or achieving something, or taking time out in the middle of the day and coming and learning. And we say, really, I have no justification for doing this. But sometimes when you demand and you ask, and you're moser nefesh, Hashem is maida. If a person really wants that, Hashem will give it to him. My friends, this is the koyach of Iyar. This is the fantastic power of the month. And it's not just Rabbi Akiva, it's his Talmidim, and we are all his Talmidim. All the Mishnayos, kulu alibah Rabbi Akiva. The Torah of Rabbi Akiva survived to this day because of this, and it's our Torah. And each individual, to the extent you really want something, ask, demand, say lama nigara. Incredible things that happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the storehouses of Shemayim, the Otros of Shemayim, and we're Zocha specifically now for him to give those things. Just like the Zohar's most spiritual part was revealed in Lag BaOmer, each person can have his own gilui of lama nigara during the month of Iyar. We should be Zocha to experience this to the fullest and make sure that we don't let the opportunity pass us. We should all be Zeicha to learn Torah to the fullest.